The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. I'm Eric Tegedoff. President Trump's plan to withdraw troops from Syria gets bipartisan pushback, and groups rally for voting rights of former felons in key battleground state Florida. Republicans and Democrats alike criticized President Trump's plans to withdraw troops from Syria's border with Turkey, fearing it could clear the way for a Turkish military operation in the embattled country. Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, believe the move could endanger national security and possibly provide an opportunity for Islamic State terrorists to regroup. In a strongly worded statement, McConnell added that a supermajority of senators disapproved of the abrupt action. Trump defended the move, saying it was time to get out of the region and let others figure it out. Voting and civil rights groups rallied outside a federal court in Florida's capital Monday, calling for a temporary injunction to allow former felons to continue to register to vote. Tramiel Gomes explains.
Last year, Florida voters overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment that allowed some 1.4 million felons to regain their voting privileges. But the state's Republican-controlled legislature passed a bill requiring all fines, restitutions, and other financial obligations be settled in order for felons to complete their sentences. Melber Pearson with the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida says their data shows only 20% of those people would meet that requirement. So about a million people still would be left without a vote.
It's a wealth-based system. If you have outstanding fines that were converted to a civil lien because the court determined you were never going to have the ability to pay, now you're in a situation where you're no longer eligible to vote. And that's just wrong.
Attorneys for the state argue that the added stipulations were reasonable interpretations of the language in Amendment 4, claiming the legislature also included the ability to seek waivers to some financial obligations.
One of the West's largest utility companies plans to close nearly two-thirds of its coal-fired power plants in Wyoming early.
PacifiCorp's plan to retire coal-fired power plants is not as sweeping as first announced, but units at Naughton, Dave Johnston, and Jim Bridger, the biggest plant in the company's fleet, will all close earlier than once anticipated. PacifiCorp's decision was based on its obligation to provide customers electricity at the lowest cost possible. Christopher Thomas with the Sierra Club says it's an economic issue facing utilities across the nation. The costs of maintaining older coal units are significantly higher than switching to solar, wind, and battery storage.
We're seeing utilities take a second look at their coal plants and say, you know what, we can save our customers money by bringing some coal units offline sooner and replacing them with renewable technologies.
The 20-year energy plan is expected to be officially filed with the Wyoming Public Service Commission on October 18th.
That was Eric Gladys reporting. This is PNS. This weekend, tours of West Virginia solar sites helped illuminate how sunlight might make more electricity here and help power the state's economy.
Monongalia delegate Evan Hansen says the solar tour brought about 20 people to see the panels on the roof of his small business. He plans to pay off the cost of installation in about 10 years, and after that, he expects to get free power for decades. Hansen says he told the visitors they could do the same, although some federal solar tax breaks are set to expire if Congress doesn't act to extend them.
If you install solar on your rooftop, you could save money over the long term. And the longer you wait, the less money you may save.
More than 850 solar-powered homes and businesses around the country, nearly 80 in West Virginia, opened their doors for visitors over the weekend. Dan Hyman reporting.
A new study examines the risks faced by unaccompanied youths in Michigan who are homeless and identifies potential strategies to ensure their health and safety. Mary Sherman reports.
There are more than 4,800 unaccompanied youth in Michigan's K-12 schools who, in a new report, shows are vulnerable to untreated mental health issues, physical victimization, and sexual exploitation. Parker James is with the Michigan League for Public Policy, which released the report.
We want to make sure kids are economically secure, that they're healthy, that they're safe, and that they have a supportive family and community. And all of those things are really hard to do if you don't have a place to stay.
According to the findings, Black, Latinx, transgender, and gender nonconforming youths are overrepresented among youths under age 24 accessing homeless services. The league has a new tool to help those who work with these youths and young adults to examine the demographics of the homeless population and determine the number of unaccompanied youths in their intermediate school district.
With states and local elections in Virginia less than a month away, AARP Virginia says it's prime time for voters to get candidates to address retirement security issues.
The typical working household nearing retirement in the Commonwealth has a little over $14,000 in savings, says Natalie Snyder with AARP Virginia. That's compared to a national average of $100,000 just a few years ago, according to a Transamerica Center report. Snyder says the gap is setting older Virginians up for financial hardship.
So if you only got $14,000 saved up for retirement and you're spending $20,000 annually, that is not a sustainable ratio at all. Like, you can't even make it through your first year of retirement on that amount of money.
A work and save bill to create a voluntary retirement program in Virginia for people who otherwise don't have one through their workplace, similar to programs in Maryland and California, didn't pass last year's General Assembly.
That was Diane Bernard reporting. I'm Eric Tegedoff for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.